Carl, this message is sponsored by Greenlight. We all know this. Greenlight is the debit card and money app for families that helps kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely.
Yeah, and also the parents are involved too.
Yes.
Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on kids' spending and saving.
So this is, I say this every week. We have this with Daisy. I love it. You can customize the debit card. We've got a picture of Golden on it. I love talking to Daisy about money. I never had any of that financial planning when I was a kid. Nobody taught me anything. I love getting to like go over the app with Daisy. She can see what's in her account. She can see us using the allowance feature, so she sees that she gets her allowance every week, and then we can talk about what she wants to save for and what she wants to spend her money on.
It's demystifying it.
It is,
you
for
know?
Sure.
And then kids and teens, too, can build money confidence and skills in a more fun and accessible way.
Exactly. And maybe, girl, that's why millions of parents and kids, just like me and Steve and Daisy, are already learning about money on Greenlight, the number one family finance safety app.
Yeah, they also have the chores feature, where you can set up one-time or recurring chores. You can customize it to your household. You can reward kids with an allowance for a job well done. We're all keeping track.
She asks about it every single week. Every Friday as we're getting into the weekend, it's macaroni and cheese and Greenlight time.
Look, girl after my own heart.
So fam, start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/TCO.
That's greenlight.com/TCO to get started.
Greenlight.com/TCO and customize that debit card.
That's right.
How many coming up-ons did you count? I have like two or three.
I had to actually go back and be like, oh no, I'm going to start taking notes here because we're like, we're just in it now.
We got like two, three coming up-ons.
Totally. All right. Hi, Jillian Bentivali.
Hi, Patrick Hines.
Hey, fam. We are in the swing of our spring-summer tour.
Yeah.
Oh, look, I got to tell you, Denver, we're coming to you July 13th. I just looked at the map. We're almost out of tickets. And then Chicago, July 15th at the Vic. We are once again almost out of tickets. They are both almost sold out. So if you want to come and see us, please do.
Come hang out.
Nashville tomorrow, if you're hearing this the day this comes out, I will be doing my traveling book party at City Winery tomorrow night.
Fun.
I love it. So it's such a fun show. I'm auctioning off a copy of my book at all of these shows. Come and see me. Come hang out with me in Nashville. I love it there. I can't wait.
It's going to be so much fun.
And fam, one more quick thing before we get into it. Join us on the Patreon. If you want more Jillian and me, that's where you can find over 350 full ad-free bonus episodes.
Yeah.
It's just more of this, but ad-free and just even zanier.
Yeah. So recently we did like both seasons of Wild Crime is on there. We just did the Tetris murders. We're doing the Fatal Attraction murder now.
Yes.
We did like Bad Vegan and
going all the way
Lorena.
Back. We've got like Making a Murderer, The Staircase,
the
Jinx, all this crazy episodic stuff on like all the cable channels.
Yeah.
So go find us there. You can also find ad-free episodes of these. Also after parties, which are just like hang sessions with me and Jillian that we do twice a month.
Q&As. Give you advice, whatever.
All right, girl, what are we talking about today?
So this is, you know that show Beyond the Headlines?
Yes.
This is the Carlina White story. It's not like a show that every once in a while they'll do like, oh, here's a Beyond the Headlines story, and this is Carlina White.
Oh, I'll give you a little tidbit. Back in the day when I was trying to think of a podcast to make with Daisy Egan, before we even started True Crime Obsessed, we were going to do like a true crimey whatever something with our friend Louis Peitzman.
Yes!
We recorded
my God.
One episode, and it was about this case.
No way.
Yeah, it was like the three of us talking about the Carlina White. It's a wild
case. It's a very, very, very wild case.
It's a story of grief.
Will you please bring my baby back, please?
And longing.
Carlina would always be on my mind every day.
Betrayal.
Where did you get me from?
She destroyed my life and my family.
And discovery.
Now to an unbelievable reunion.
She made this happen herself. She's the hero in this.
I got my answers now to things that happened in my life.
But Carlina White's newfound family faced some hard realities. Now, for the first time on television, Carlina, her birth parents, and the family that raised her tell the true story behind a reunion that captivated the world.
I guess we'll just start with this coming up on. We learned that in January 2011, an assistant in a hair salon near Atlanta learns that she is really Carlina White.
Yeah.
And she'd been abducted as an infant from Harlem Hospital 23 years earlier. And it's just like we get the sense right away that the reunion with her birth family doesn't go great.
Yeah. And honestly, like, how could it?
I know.
You know what I mean? It's like,
we'll get there when we get there. As an adoptive parent, I guess I have adjacent feelings to all of this stuff. Like, it's very sad.
bad, and I have an update. It took me a while to find an update at the end.
Oh, yeah, I found one, too.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. We'll find out, but this girl was kidnapped. She's reunited with her birth family. The birth family who'd been looking for her since the minute she was taken, and somehow it doesn't go great.
All right, so let's dive in. Yeah. Joy White is Carlina's mom.
Yes.
Joy White was 16 years old in 1987 when she found out she was pregnant by her then-boyfriend, 22-year-old Carl Tyson.
Yep. Gotta do some math.
Now, Carl is here and maybe my favorite person in this documentary.
And Joy is here. They're both here. They are not together anymore, but they're here.
And when they find out that they're pregnant, like, they're both super excited. They go right to her parents. They, like, everyone wants the baby. They seem to be in a good relationship. But he's 22 and she's 16, and no one says anything.
I know, because I guess it was okay, but, like, I don't know. I mean, it was their relationship,
It was what it was, and Carl is here and, like, has a whole other family now and very much wanted Carlina and really loved Joy. Like, he's seems like a great dude, but holy shit.
Yeah. So that's the thing.
So that's the thing that we just have to say. We gotta say.
So Joy was sick and tired of being pregnant. She was 2 weeks past her due date.
Listen,
I can't imagine.
I get it. I am definitely one of those gay guys who's like, if I could be pregnant, I would be.
God, why?
As an adoptive parent, and I'm just speaking for myself, maybe all adoptive parents don't feel this way, but like, I wish, like, I wasn't in the room when Daisy was born. I have this belief that when I die, I get to go and witness her birth or something.
Amazing.
And like, if I could have carried Daisy, I would have been an absolute fucking nightmare the whole time. I would have been starving always. My feet would have hurt. Yeah. It would have been a constant rubbing situation of feet at my house.
Oh, God.
I'm just saying, Joy, they say, the narrator says it was a very long pregnancy. I'm like, well, aren't they all about the same?
I mean, nine months is very, very long.
By July 15th, Joy had enough.
I got tired of being pregnant. So what I did was I walked all the way from 125th Street and Broadway, and I walked down to 34th Street. And then after that, I went into labor, and I had her.
Fam, if you don't know how far that is, that's like 3 miles.
Yeah.
She walks in 18 months pregnant.
Is it 3 miles?
I don't know. Isn't it like a mile is like 33 blocks?
No.
Or 23 blocks?
I just walk ever. It doesn't matter. I don't know. Three miles seems like way too long.
No. Oh, it's at least 3 miles. Google Maps says if you walk from 125th and Broadway to 34th and Broadway, it says 6.2 miles.
I was
wrong by half.
By half.
Yeah.
I was wrong by triple.
6.2. Okay. Yeah. I like Joy a lot. I think there might be a little Patrick Hines hyperbole in this story.
But she induces labor, and I think that was her point. She was like, I'll just walk to the nearest hospital, and when she's not out of me by then, I'll walk to the next one, and the next one, I'll just keep
6.2
walking.
6.2 miles. I'm calling mild bullshit.
Oh, my God. Well, I also don't know anything about anything, but I specifically am very bad with numbers. I can't guess age, height, weight, time, distance.
But I'm telling you, can you imagine being like 9 months pregnant and walking six? Can you imagine being fit as a fiddle and walking 6 miles?
I can't imagine a whole lot of things.
No.
Especially how long 6 miles really is.
You know, Steve and I once walked the entire length of Broadway. We started all the way on the other side of the river in the Bronx, and we walked all the way down to Battery Park.
You started in the Bronx?
We did, to cross the bridge over into Manhattan in Inwood, and it took us like 13 hours, but we did it, the whole thing.
You should do the opposite and then end up in the Bronx and go to Arthur Avenue.
Okay, great.
As a reward.
Is that the Italian food area?
Yes, it's where I lived.
Oh, my God. So she goes into labor. Her and Carl are at the hospital.
And like, to be clear, after walking, like, that induced the labor.
Yes.
That's why we know about this story.
Yep. Carl comes right on down. They name the baby Carlina. First name for Carl, the dad. And the second is Joy's middle name.
Yeah, Carlina Renee White.
Yeah.
And so Joy and Carl are absolutely thrilled.
Over the moon. Carl just wants to take the baby to the park. And it's so funny because when Daisy came to us, that was my first thought, too. I cannot wait to take this baby to the park and show it the fuck
off. Little stroller and look. But that's what happened. So Elizabeth White is Carlina's grandmother, and she's just saying, like,
we all used to just stand there and look at her, you know, talking about how, what a beautiful little girl.
Very pretty, always smiling, but she had some lungs on her. She used to cry a whole lot.
She would cry and cry. And
there's
cry.
Like, and I'm like, I think that usually that happens a lot. Like, I always think about,
Daisy was pretty quiet.
Really?
For a kid that's grown up to be kind of mouthy, she was pretty quiet.
Well, the thing is, everyone listening at home, you don't have to be loud to make a point.
That's true. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Carlina is 19 days old and she gets a 104 degree fever.
Yeah.
And this must be fucking terrifying.
I literally wrote, like, this is so scary.
Like, when you have a little baby and something. I know, like, I know that I don't know, but friends of mine have had this moment where you just are like, is this one of those normal scary things to do, or is it like a scary, scary thing?
When Daisy was a baby and she was in foster care, we could not make we could not make medical decisions for her. So one time Daisy had a 103 degree temperature at 2 a.m. and we had to call the emergency number at the agency to ask if we could take her to the hospital.
Ask permission to save this little baby's
and, like,
life.
We had given her Tylenol or whatever you give a kid with a fever, and they told us no. They told us not to bring the baby to the hospital, and we didn't. And she was fine. She was totally fine.
And that just, like, happens with little babies, right? They get fevers,
I only remember it being that bad one time, but can you imagine? Like, they told us not to bring her to the hospital.
I wonder what their reasoning could possibly have been.
I don't know, but we didn't go. But, you know, they get her to the hospital and they learn that Carlina swallowed some fluid during the birth.
Yes.
And that now, like, whatever the effect of that was, that she now has a serious fever.
It's like she has a little infection. I'm like, oh, this little teeny tiny peanut.
I
just, like, they don't know.
With
and
no
they
immune
can't,
system.
They can't, like, communicate and they just know that they're like, where the f-? I was, like, nice and warm and cozy in the thing. And now I'm here and what the fuck? Like, everyone's really nice to me. Everyone's looking at me a lot. Like, that part's kind of fun. But
I know.
Ow.
And Joy, the mom, is only 16. And she finds out they've got to keep the baby overnight. She's beside herself.
And so they're at Harlem Hospital, which is where Carlina was born. So they're back there. And they're only, you know, it's 19 days ago. So whatever.
As Joy cried in the hallway outside the pediatric ward, a woman dressed in white comforted her.
She came up to me. She seen me crying. And she came up to me and said, don't cry. Here's a piece of tissue. Don't worry. Everything is going to be okay. And she kind of made me feel better, you know, at that time, because I was, like, so upset. I didn't know what to do.
She's like, I just remember this woman in white, like, you know, like a nurse. And it's just like, you know, hey, like, how's it going? You know what you should do? Just go home and get some rest. Like, there's nothing you can do in this state. Like, just get a little bit of sleep and then come back.
And again, Joy is 16. She's just doing what the grownups and the medical professionals are telling her to do. I don't blame her for this at all, obviously.
Yeah, if I was terrified and didn't know what to do, which is about 99.9% of the time, if some, like, nice nurse was like, hey, sweetheart,
we
like,
got this.
Like,
you go home and take a nap.
Like, you can't help her if you're in this state. I'd be like, okay, well, all I want to do is help her. So I don't know. I'm 16. Here we go. So Joy is home. She's getting some rest.
She's at her mom's house. Yeah.
And two cops knock on the door.
The mom answers it, sees the cops, and her first thought was, did Carlina die?
Which is, I mean, she's all of us. Like, she's dead. Like, why are you here? Like, what the fuck? Uh-huh. Like, it can only mean one thing. But it's, like, almost worse. Carlina's missing.
The cops say to the grandmother, no, somebody took her. Joy is hysterical. She calls Carl. She's trying to explain it to him through sobs. It makes no sense to Carl. Can you imagine? If there's one place on earth you would think your baby would be safe, it'd
be
in the hospital.
And Joy says as much.
Yeah.
So everyone is a wreck. They all go back to the hospital that Joy maybe left an hour ago at the most.
Yes.
There are cops everywhere. There are helicopters. The dogs are sniffing around. It was an all hands on deck situation because of, like, as it should have been, right?
And they say they have a big meeting with the hospital, but nobody knew anything, to which I'm like, fucking what?
I know it's 1987, but come on.
Thank the Lord this didn't happen to my baby.
Oh my God.
I would own that hospital. Patrick Hines Memorial Hospital in Harlem
Jesus
is what it would be called
Christ.
Now. I can't decide. I cannot decide what that Jesus Christ is about.
I can't either. Honestly.
Are you scared for the hospital staff? Are you sad for me? Are you really worried for Steve? Are you worried for Daisy? I cannot figure out.
I'm spiraling, if I'm honest with you. Because I just can't believe, because if it's still happening, like, at this point, this should just have never happened. And we'll get into why it should never have happened.
Well, and she's saying, like, they're going through, like, the course of events of the night. They're, like, questioning Joy, the mom. And she remembers the nurse who came and sat with her.
Well, it was the last thing that happened to her.
It turned out many people in the hospital had seen the woman hanging around, especially in the pediatric ward. Parents thought she worked there. Staff members thought she was a parent or a volunteer.
I really thought she was a nurse. So, she was dressed just like a nurse, but she had a name tag.
Parents are all like, Oh, yeah. You mean that woman, like, milling around the pediatric ward?
Okay.
I remember her.
I mean, this is the thing. We're going to get a statistic later that, like, these infant abductions don't happen very often.
They happen way too much, as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, one is too much,
exactly.
Right? But, like, the idea that this woman, we'll learn, is not a nurse, does not work at the hospital, is not a parent who just had a baby, is milling about the nursery at the hospital. What on earth?
And Steph,
everyone goes to jail.
Everyone
goes, for the rest of their lives.
And staff members were like, I thought she was a volunteer. Or maybe a parent. I don't know.
And the parents are like, I thought she worked. Like what?
Again, I know it's 1987,
yes.
But that's more like
it's not
the technology.
1887.
Right, that's what I mean. It's like a technology, fine, but like no ID tags.
I mean,
no, like you could just sort of be there.
You could, I mean, and once again, if an infant abduction has happened one other time in American history, there should be bars on every door.
And I feel like this woman was as obvious as Heath Ledger as the nurse, as the Joker, where it's just like,
totally.
That's not a real nurse. Come on.
Exactly.
But still, like, gets onto the bus and, like, wreaks havoc anyway. Like, how was she just allowed to do this?
I absolutely cannot fathom. And when we find out what they sue the hospital for and win, it's not nearly enough.
No. So Ernie Allen is here. Ernie is here from the Center for Missing and Exploited Children.
Yeah.
And he's like, look, this is what these people do, okay?
They
go to hospitals and birthing centers. They walk through the halls. They target babies. And I'm like, Ernie?
Ernie, like, that's a little too much information too quickly, girl.
Too cavalier.
It's just like if we know this, it's like the floodlights. If we know the known dumping grounds, how are we not plowing that forest and putting it in floodlights?
Yeah.
If we know that people go to hospitals and nurseries to steal babies, how do we not have every safety protocol in place?
I'm not saying we need like facial recognition or
fingerprints.
Today we do. I'm talking 1987.
Okay.
Can you give her a little plastic laminate?
Didn't they make Terminator 2 that year? They could do anything.
Is that when that was?
No, that's like a 90s thing. But still,
was
we
87 Desperately Seeking Susan?
Probably.
Okay.
Which shows you how low tech things really were.
We can get shit done. So the cops are asking the community, and it's so heartbreaking because the only thing they have is like the one photo of a 19-day-old Carlina. And like, no one's going to recognize that photo.
Nope.
It's just so heartbreaking.
They're saying like time is the enemy, especially in the case of a missing child, especially in the case of an infant or a newborn.
Course.
And like, remember the story I told a story in the after party about when we were in Hawaii and Daisy vanished on the beach. Like we were all together and then she wasn't there and it took like 3 minutes for us to find her.
Yeah.
And I know this fact that time is the enemy.
Yeah.
And all I can do is think about how like I live here now and every single person who's on this beach is coming home with me
because
you're all witnesses.
Right.
Like that is such a terrifying thought that we all know is true, that time is the, like, oh my God, where's the baby?
Yeah. So we have a good news, bad news situation. The good news is that...
Give us good news, Pensavalli.
They did have cameras.
When the woman in white left Harlem Hospital, there were security cameras in place, but they weren't working. That left very little information to go on.
I mean...
And the bad news...
I mean, I know...
...is that they just weren't working.
I mean, to which I said death penalty
sued.
For everybody.
They should be sued. The cameras at a hospital, they should always be working. Now, I'm not, like, pro, like, police state and Big Brother.
What?
I'm just
Why?
Saying...
Suddenly, like, if there's babies going missing from hospitals, police state everywhere.
We can't... We just have to do better, and we can't, like, go to any extreme. If a hot... If, like, a security camera...
Or we can stop
camera,
stealing babies. You know
like,
what I mean? That's
I
the other
understand.
Option. Yeah. Put us out of work, everybody.
Please. And no one wants to hold this fucking woman. Her name is Anne. No one wants to hold her accountable. It's wild to me.
I know.
So anyway.
Well, Joy wants to hold her accountable.
And I'll hold her accountable.
Which is the crux of why this ends badly.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So Joy and Carl help others. Like, they develop a police sketch. And they found, like, a mugshot who kind of looks like the sketch of the nurse. And she didn't do it. She had this airtight alibi. And there are no leads at all.
But then Carl the dad is like, so they tell us there's no leads, but I wonder if I was a person with money, would that have made a difference? Of course it would
have. Or if they were white.
Of course. That's the fucking sad, hard reality here. You know?
A lot of... Yeah, they were failed in many ways.
Essentially, they say, like, they looked for 5 minutes, and then there was no leads, and they just stopped looking. And, like, Joy says it, Carl says it. Like, did they just forget about us? Did they just give up? And, like, yes.
Yeah, I think they just thought, like, oh, this is impossible. Next.
Yeah. Like, this is impossible. What should be impossible is stealing a baby from a hospital. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, like, but hospitals weren't really thinking about this, which means that there were several infant abductions in the late 80s. Were there, like, 10,000? No, but if there's one, it's too many.
But that's what I'm saying, and they say that, like, all of these abductions would follow the same pattern.
Typically, the abductor was someone, almost always a woman, who would walk into the hospital, find a smock hanging up in a closet, pick the baby up out of a bassinet in the mother's room or in the nursery, walk off the floor, out of the hospital, out of their lives.
So she wasn't just like dressed ready to go and just like acting like she owns the place?
Put every nurse outfit under lock and key.
Like,
you know what I mean? Because like a nurse uniform is a permission badge to be walking out of the room with a baby.
Which is what they would do. They would just walk into a room, pick up a baby, and walk out the door.
Yeah. And like he says, walk out of the room, out of the hospital, and out of their lives.
That's just out into the fucking world. So 16-year-old Joy is trying to keep this case alive. She's doing every interview. The poor thing.
I mean, cannot imagine, 16 years old.
And like, it just, you know, it destroys you. Like, she's begging and pleading people to listen to her. She couldn't sleep. She's taking sleeping pills. She's just like self-medicating. What is she supposed to do?
And we see some of the news interviews that she gave back in the day. She can't get through them without sobbing.
It's heartbreaking.
It's a wreck.
So Joy and the family are left to figure this all out on their own.
Yeah.
And now we kind of go back and we learn what happened.
Right.
So this woman's name is Anne Petway. She's from Bridgeport, Connecticut, which is like 60 miles northeast of New York City. If you told me if it was 600, I'd probably believe you. Bad with numbers.
I've been to Bridgeport a bunch of times.
Oh, what's going on in Bridgeport?
Bridgeport is nice. I used to have a friend who lived in Westport, which was the town next over.
Is it a bridge town? Is there like a lot of water there?
I don't know, actually.
Water? Okay.
It's like Connecticut. Probably some water.
Sure.
Okay, great.
Not like it matters. Anne sucks. Anne had left town for a few months, and her family was under the impression that she was pregnant. So then she comes back a few months later with a baby, and everyone's like, oh,
Can we just say, though, the premeditation here?
Yes.
She was telling her family that she was pregnant months before she ended up kidnapping this baby.
Right.
Knowing that she was going to go out and kidnap a baby.
Yeah. I also don't know how you, like, fake a pregnancy. Is that a thing you can do?
I mean, if you're just kind of, like, whatever, you know, if you're like, I'm pregnant and no one's going to ask, who's going to ask any questions?
I feel like people ask a lot of questions.
But I mean, I don't know.
People have to wear shirts that say, ask first, do not touch me.
You should wear that shirt at all times. But I mean, also, like, where was she in the ensuing months? Like, she tells her family she's pregnant, then she vanishes for a couple months, comes home with a baby, and it's like, where did she go?
And they're like, oh, congrats on the baby.
Yeah.
Girl, this message is sponsored by Greenlight. We all know this. Greenlight is the debit card and money app for families that helps kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely.
Yeah, and also the parents are involved too.
Yes.
Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on kids' spending and saving.
So this is, I say this every week. We have this with Daisy. I love it. You can customize the debit card. We've got a picture of Golden on it. I love talking to Daisy about money. I never had any of that financial planning when I was a kid. Nobody taught me anything. I love getting to like go over the app with Daisy. She can see what's in her account. She can see us using the allowance feature, so she sees that she gets her allowance every week, and then we can talk about what she wants to save for and what she wants to spend her money on.
It's demystifying it.
It is,
you
for
know?
Sure.
And then kids and teens, too, can build money confidence and skills in a more fun and accessible way.
Exactly. And maybe, girl, that's why millions of parents and kids, just like me and Steve and Daisy, are already learning about money on Greenlight, the number one family finance safety app.
Yeah, they also have the chores feature, where you can set up one-time or recurring chores. You can customize it to your household. You can reward kids with an allowance for a job well done. We're all keeping track.
She asks about it every single week. Every Friday as we're getting into the weekend, it's macaroni and cheese and Greenlight time.
Look, girl after my own heart.
So fam, start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/TCO.
That's greenlight.com/TCO to get started.
Greenlight.com/TCO and customize that debit card.
That's right.
So Cassandra is Anne's sister.
I love Cassandra. In fact, I love Anne's whole family.
Yeah, they say things that I very much agree with and subscribe to.
It's crazy, too, because you're like, we're meeting the family of the kidnapper. You expect them to be awful, terrible people. They're fucking not. They're great.
Well, they're a huge family.
Yes.
They love family. And they also are all about chosen family. So
yes.
I love all this shit. I'm all about the chosen family.
We do get some hard facts here.
Uh-huh.
Because we're learning about the kidnapping. And they say that, like, apparently infant abductions are relatively rare. Fewer than 300 happened between 1983 and 2010. That's 300 abductions.
300 too many.
I mean, thank God it's not 3,000.
But that's the thing.
Oh my God.
The number was kind of like, okay, so this sucks. But in my mind, it was going to be so much bigger.
Yes, I agree. I mean, I guess in most hospitals, the security cameras are on.
And by like 2010, you know, once you hear about this, I guess hopefully moves would be made.
That is like a widespread, like that's a big spread.
It's a long time, yeah.
But we learn that like the FBI or whoever is able to profile the person who does these kinds of infant abductions. And they say that overwhelmingly the abductor is a woman.
Maybe a woman who has miscarried, who has lost a baby. These cases are more often driven by the psychological need to keep a particular man in life, keep a relationship alive, than it is for the baby per se. So it is it's a very manipulative tool that these women use.
It's a manipulative tool. And I'm like, oh, fuck. So this is what we're learning. Like, right. Anne's not here to tell us this. But what we're learning is that Anne was trying to keep a guy named Derek Nance, who was a local drug dealer. And that's the relationship that she was trying to keep together.
And she would later tell the FBI that she wanted to have his baby, but she had several miscarriages.
Right. Which I know how traumatizing that could be secondhand.
Of course.
But I'm just, you know, that I don't know if that's the only thing that led her to this horrifying fucking decision. But like,
I mean, because again, like, she seems like she comes from a good family. Like, not that that matters. Like, all serial killers, you know, come from families.
They do seem like a family that would ask some questions, though.
Yeah.
So what happened was Anne goes into New York City, 60 miles away, hangs out there for a couple months, steals Carlina.
I just want more. Is she working at a diner? How is she living? Where is she getting her money from? Did her family know, or is her family giving her money?
Like, yeah, and
I need more on that backstory.
Is Derek based in New York, her ex, the drug dealer, or was he in Connecticut? Like, I don't know where, again, like, yeah, you're right. What was she doing and where?
And how was she living? And right.
But what happens is she goes and steals Carlina, names her Nedra, and they call her Nettie, and then brings her home to the Petway family. And the Petway family, again, they are enormous. They're always, always throwing parties.
Can we talk about the Petway family of East Bridgeport, Connecticut?
They're all over the east side.
We meet all the cousins. They're all here. They're like, the family was so large that you could walk down the street and see 20 of your family members.
Yeah,
is that amazing or is that awful?
I don't know what it is. As someone who prefers a small family.
Yeah. It reminded me of like Adnan talking about how like, even though they weren't all like related by blood, like the aunties.
Sure.
Like the community that like you would go out, the aunties are always telling on you.
And they were all also, like, just a lot, very social, lots of parties, lots of cookouts, reunions, family gatherings, like any excuse to get everybody together and celebrate and love each other.
It
I think it's very
like
sweet.
It sounds like my kind of people. I seem a little bit like Nettie, who's Carlina, like the kidnapped one.
Yeah.
Because her name in this family is Nettie. Her real name is Carlina. But she says, like, growing up in this family was great and I was like an entertainer.
But there was another side to her as well.
She always liked to be to herself sometimes.
To this day, she's still quiet into herself.
That quiet girl found her own outlet. At the age of 10, she began writing poems.
She loved to, like, just be with her mom and, like, write poetry.
Yeah.
But everyone in this family, like, just loved her. She fits right in.
Right.
She's one of the gang.
And something to note here, they don't say it, but Derek Lance, the guy that she allegedly, like, did this all for, is not here.
Right. And, like,
and he's not mentioned again.
And, like, did she grow up believing that? At one point, she does say, like, I never thought I looked like my dad. So she must have been brought up believing he was her dad.
Sure. Yeah. I just don't know. I don't think he's very present. Like, he's just never mentioned again. Like, was he at the family reunions? It doesn't sound like it.
Yeah.
So Anne, the abductor, is outspoken, loving, and everyone's like, look, anything Nedra, Carlina needed or wanted, she got. Like, Anne was super, super strict, but she was a very good and present mother.
Is she, Carlina, who, like, living as Nettie is her name in this family?
Yeah.
She says, I hate this.
I hate it too.
She said, you don't ask questions. If someone told you what to do, you just did it.
Whether they were an adult.
An aunt or an uncle. If an adult, you just don't question an adult.
Yeah,
and
I
that,
didn't like it.
I don't like that at all.
I don't like
that
it either.
I don't like
that. That is a very, like, old school, antiquated way of doing things. I didn't grow up like that.
No.
But, like, hearing that as this cut and dry rule is, like, terrifying. But also, since the child abductor, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Who, like, posed to another teenage girl and told her what to do.
Yeah. But we also learn about Anne, the abductor, that, like, despite what everyone says about her being a great mother, she was also in trouble with the law a lot.
Yeah.
So she was arrested in 91, 93, and 97 on drug possession charges and larceny.
And the thing about that is that Carlina, Nettie, but Carlina, it's the Carlina White story.
Right.
She was always kept in the dark about this. And the kids always were. So, like, they never had any idea. And
which is good. I don't think that, like, they need to be told what's happening.
Fine. But, like, Carlina was always staying at her grandmother's house for an extended period of time.
Nettie did shuttle back and forth to Anne's mother's home, although she was given a different reason for the moves.
I still want my grandmother when I attended school because I was gone based on her address. I went to school in the better district, so I stayed with her.
She was told that it was because they were like lying about her address so she can go to the better school. But the kids were always like, if someone was in trouble or like, they would always be sort of like shipped off to the grandmother's house.
And it seems like the grandmother's house is a place of stability in this family. So it seems like the kids felt really safe there.
I was also always at my grandmother's house when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That's like a thing that happens.
If Daisy could move in with her grandparents, she absolutely like, would.
I was always at both of them.
Yeah. We're being told that like all through her childhood, remember, this is an abducted, kidnapped kid. And all through her childhood, nobody in the family questioned her parentage at all.
Right.
Like, one of her cousins is here to be like, I mean, she looked a little different, but we all looked a little
different. Yeah, who cares?
And this is where Carlina says, like, if anything, I thought maybe I wasn't my dad's, but I always thought I looked like my mom.
Yeah, and they're also like, DNA, shmiana, who cares? Yeah. Chosen family all the way.
And that wasn't a thing back
like,
then.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But just the idea of, like, are you my blood family? Fuck that. If you were family, you were family. And, like, if you know, you know.
But
you
this
know
is
I mean?
Also, like, what you were saying earlier about them being the kind of family that asks questions.
Yeah.
I would hope that if they had any, like, thought that she had kidnapped a baby, somebody would have said something.
I don't think anyone would even consider that as a thing.
Yeah.
Maybe at the most, I could see any family saying, like, well, maybe that's not the mom or maybe that's not the dad. But like, I don't think anyone is going to, you know, where she probably was for those 4 months.
Figuring out how to kidnap a baby.
Because it is so insane. I really don't think anyone would go there.
And the thing about it, and hopefully we'll get into it later, like it's also the cruelest thing you can do.
Because it affects so many people.
I mean, it is like to steal a baby from a, like it is so, so cruel.
I know. Meanwhile, in Harlem, Joe and Carl, like, don't know how to live because they're trying to deal with this, right?
Yes.
They must be nervous wrecks all the time. I mean, I can't imagine.
They also broke up and are going their own ways, but, like, they're staying, like, in contact over all of this.
Right.
Joy is getting, like, the crazy phone calls of people saying that they think that they saw Carlina.
Who does this? I mean, just that's also fucking cruel to make prank phone calls to the people who are going through the worst thing.
I guess we can, like, try to see the best and hope that they were serious. But,
maybe.
Like, oh, my God. And, you know, of course, Joy talking about like
it's something that you can't explain when you have a missing child, but it always stayed with me. She was always on my mind. I always wondered where she was at. I would get on trains and I would just look at girls and I would think that maybe that's her.
Every kid that she sees, she thinks, of course you're going to wonder.
How are you not? Like, of course. So Joy and Carl sue the hospital for negligence.
Yes.
Obviously, right? Their argument is like, they basically set the scene for a baby to be abducted.
There doesn't need to be an argument. The kid was stolen from the fucking hospital.
Right. So in 1992, they win a settlement of $750,000.
I don't understand how they don't own that hospital.
I don't either.
So in today's money, that would be $1.6 million.
Not enough.
Not nearly. More money than it sounded like to me at the time. But $1.6 million for your baby?
No.
Like, they should own the hospital.
Yeah.
Not that anybody wants to own a hospital. Jesus.
God.
Can you imagine?
No.
Mr. Hines, your hospital is ready. No. On second thought.
But I feel like if you have that money, you just hire the best people to do the best work, and then you don't have to worry about it. And then you have like a check-in meeting every however much and be like, everyone's still on their shit. There's no way anyone can get stolen or killed by some fucking great. Okay, we're on it.
But Joy just says,
and have you cured cancer yet? And are we on that? Because I want us to do it all. That's what I want.
Where are we with AIDS? Is that cured yet?
Is that cured yet? No? Right. Okay, so what are we doing?
Stan, you're going to have to work through the weekend on that. Thank you.
And also, I don't want a single kid walking out of here.
Or being carried out of here.
Or being killed. Or like the shit that goes on in hospitals. Oh, my God.
I know.
So they tell us.
They put some of it aside for Carlina.
We had that hope our daughter was coming back. So, and that's why me and Joy decided to start the trust fund.
So if she was to be found by 21 years old, she would have it.
If she was found by the time she was 21, she could have that money that was just a portion of the $750,000.
Yeah. Now, I just want to point out here, I was thinking about this, because eventually we're going to find out that money's all spent.
Yes.
But like, Carl went on and had other kids, so did Joy. Joy was 16 years old, and I'm telling you, if something were to happen to Daisy, I will never leave my house again. So like, it sounds like at some point it's going to be painted that they were selfish maybe for spending some. How do you ever get up and go to a job again when your kid was stolen out of the hospital? Of course that money was spent.
Right. And part of it is like, yes, obviously, I'm going to try to say this in a way that makes sense. You always understand me though. So maybe
always. Oh, I'm no help
like,
here then.
No. But like, it's not just the act of stealing the baby, which is a major part of it. But that money is for, again, like, well, their whole lives are ruined now. And like you said,
you can never work again.
They can't go to a real job. Like, their lives that were not just stopped, but destroyed and turned upside down. So that money is so that they can fucking exist
exactly.
and survive.
Forever.
Like, that's what it's there for, right?
100%.
Like, or at least part of it.
Yeah.
So eventually the case goes cold, but not for everybody.
No.
Because Joy is keeping the case alive, and so does the Center for Missing and Exploited Children.
Yeah, which is great. Like, that's what Ernie is here as a representative of.
Ernie,
thank the Lord.
Ernie also tells us, you know how I say whenever we have cases like this, I'm like, please just, I hope that they're living in some gorgeous 10-story house in Malibu.
That Madeline McCann is out there.
Just fucking living her life. Like, that's what I need to believe. And Ernie's like, you're not 100% wrong.
Yes.
Because he says, like,
the experts there know that infant abductors usually take good care of their captives.
We were convinced from day one that Carlina White was out there somewhere. No doubt with a different name, no doubt with no recollection or any inkling that she, in fact, was a missing child.
Ernie's going to say a bunch of times, we always thought Carlina was out there and that she was, like, doing well.
Right.
You know?
So they do the age progression thing. They make an age progression photo to get an updated photo of Carlina by using, like, photos of family members and DNA and trying to just, like, make her the most realistic, I don't know, 16-year-old they can make her.
And we see it in progress. There's, like, some middle-aged white guy who's, like, making the photo, and he's like, this is a photo of Carlina's half-sister. The mom said that Carlina looked just like her half-sister when she was born. And he goes, can't argue with mom on that one.
You know?
Really sweet.
It's pretty... amazing.
These are the people doing the good work. Like, if you're working for the Centers for Missing and Exploited Children, like, you actually give a shit.
Yeah. Well, unless you're someone who Carlina speaks to later. But we'll get to that in a minute.
I mean, there's a bad apple in every bunch, I guess.
Well, that means the bad apple spoils the bunch. How many times do I have to say it? Get rid of them. Do we have to run all of it? Get rid of them.
I know.
Girl, this message is sponsored by Greenlight. We all know this. Greenlight is the debit card and money app for families that helps kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely.
Yeah, and also the parents are involved too.
Yes.
Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on kids' spending and saving.
So this is, I say this every week. We have this with Daisy. I love it. You can customize the debit card. We've got a picture of Golden on it. I love talking to Daisy about money. I never had any of that financial planning when I was a kid. Nobody taught me anything. I love getting to, like, go over the app with Daisy. She can see what's in her account. She can see us using the allowance feature, so she sees that she gets her allowance every week, and then we can talk about what she wants to save for and what she wants to spend her money on.
It's demystifying it.
It is,
you
for
know?
Sure.
And then kids and teens, too, can build money confidence and skills in a more fun and accessible way.
Exactly. And maybe, girl, that's why millions of parents and kids, just like me and Steve and Daisy, are already learning about money on Greenlight, the number one family finance safety app.
Yeah, they also have the chores feature, where you can set up one-time or recurring chores. You can customize it to your household. You can reward kids with an allowance for a job well done. We're all keeping track.
She asks about it every single week. Every Friday as we're getting into the weekend, it's macaroni and cheese and Greenlight time.
Girl, after my own heart.
So fam, start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/TCO.
That's greenlight.com/TCO to get started.
Greenlight.com/TCO and customize that debit card.
That's right.
So it's 2005, and Carlina, or Nettie as she's called now, gets pregnant, and she's 16 years old.
So yeah, we're back with Nettie, Carlina, with her story.
Right, and so she's 16, she gets pregnant.
She had a serious boyfriend at the time and was excited about having a baby. The only problem was she didn't have health insurance. She asked for help from the woman she had always called mom, Ann Petway.
She asks Anne, who she thinks is her mom, for her social security card and her birth certificate. Like, she's trying to, like, get the job done, get prepared for this baby. She's got work to do.
I was thinking about this, too, that, like, I don't know what Carlina's life was like up to that point, but, like, when I was 14, I got my first job, and you have to have a social security card and a birth certificate.
Yeah, working papers.
To get your papers. Yeah. And so, like, I guess Carlina had never needed this stuff until now.
Right.
And if you're Anne, the abductor, you must have known this day was coming sometime.
My thing is, what was the fucking plan?
What's the plan?
Because, again, and also, like, she can only, let's just say she got a job at, because their family's enormous.
Yeah.
So maybe, like, someone gave her a job and it was a little under the table, and that's fine, but, like, that cannot last forever.
Forever, no.
Because you're also, like, taking so much of her life away. She's got to go out and, like, be a human and explore. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
Like, so I don't know. Like, is it worth it, Anne, to just, like, steal this baby and then live in fear that, like, exactly what's about to happen happens?
Because Carlina's like, my mom said that she would take care of it, and then she goes...
She's like, just give me a few days.
But then she goes, but I started getting impatient.
Right.
Because Carlina's like needs prenatal care. Like that's what she needs here. So she needs insurance for that.
But I'm sure, like, how many times do you think it must have happened where Carlina asked her mother for something and it either took forever or it never happened, where Carlina was just like, no, whatever, you don't need that, or there was a workaround. Like, that must be exhausting.
And like, again, something was always going to happen.
What was the plan, Anne?
They say that Carlina just like started snooping around her mom and the abductor's papers.
Yeah.
Until she found something that looked like a birth certificate, and she brings it down to the office to apply for insurance.
They told me to take the paper and leave out the office before I get arrested. And I just looked at the lady like, I'm just trying to get, you know, prenatal care. I need to go to the doctors. I'm pregnant. And she's like, well, this is fraud.
Carlina says she looked at the lady and was like, I'm just trying to get some prenatal care. What are you talking about?
What is going on? And again, like, what? And also, Anne, what were you doing in those, like, give me a couple days?
Right.
When Carlina's like, I need my shit, mom, so I can take care of this baby and, like, get prenatal care. And, like, Anne, what were you doing in those 4 days?
But also, the fact that she got this far, like, you, when you register your kid for school, don't you need these papers?
Right. And then it's like, but why was she going back and forth from different schools all the time?
Uh-huh.
Like, that must have been part of it.
Right.
Right.
And did people really not know? You know what I mean?
Like,
one do the math? Anyway, she just, like, the lady says, well, you can't use this. This is fraud.
Right. The lady at the insurance place.
Yes. And, like, that's when, so, like, in front of Carlina, the clerk calls Anne, the abductor, and she's like, what's going on here, Anne?
Yeah. Right. Again, because I'm sure, like, you know, Cheryl at the front desk would get in trouble for not reporting this.
Right, and she's just trying to help Carlina, who clearly needs prenatal care.
Right, who's, like, trying to do the right thing here.
But, like, then Anne wastes no time spilling all the tea.
Well, kind of. So she lies to her because she says to Carlina, who she's calling Nedra,
she,
like,
comes
I'm
home
so sorry.
That night. Yeah.
Yeah, and she's, like, crying with the fucking crocodile tears in the waterworks.
Yeah.
But she's like, no.
I want you in 5 minutes alone in a room with Anne.
I just have some questions. I also would, like, never get in a fucking physical fight with someone unless I was protecting myself. And let me tell you, that happened to me not too long ago where I had to fucking shove a guy and I almost punched him in the face.
Yes.
I've punched someone in the face because whatever.
Right.
But I would never, like, we have sort of this bit where it's like, yeah, just get me in a room with them.
I
would do nothing.
I know.
Like, I would just be like, Anne, what was your fucking plan?
Meanwhile,
what were you
I
thinking?
Would crack a chair over someone's head if I had to.
No, you wouldn't.
Maybe I would. The image of me picking
let's
up a chair.
Let's hope it never happens. Like, let's hope we never get.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Quite a workout.
Patrick, what did you do? I cracked a chair over his head.
What'd they do?
Nothing.
What'd they deserve?
It didn't hurt very much.
But she's lying to Carlina and saying,
I'm sorry. I wish I could have told you. You know, she was like, your mom just left you there. She just left you there and she never came back. I'm like, what? She just basically told me that she wasn't my mom, that someone left me and she took me in and basically took care of me.
I saved you out of the goodness of my heart. And it's like, right, but what were you doing milling around the baby ward?
I know.
What, like, your story doesn't make any sense.
Well, and this is just also where I have more questions. It's like, well, what do you mean by that? Like, are you trying to tell her it was a proper adoption? Or you, like, took
you, like,
the baby
found
without,
her on the street
without
and then,
telling anyone?
But then you came home and lied to your entire family. So
or
now,
like, does the family know?
Well, now the family learns the truth.
Yeah.
And they say, like, to me, where I'm like, oh, you're speaking my language, but no one's holding Anne accountable. So what they say is, like, look, we learned the truth. Carlina didn't do anything wrong, or Nettie didn't do anything wrong. DNA doesn't matter. Like, chosen family, we still love her.
And also, if I'm following what they're saying here, by the truth, you mean the story that she told Carlina.
Right.
Which is, I saved this baby. She was abandoned. That's what it seems like to me. Because if they were like, no, we learned that she kidnapped this baby from a parent who loved her, and the family is standing by her, then the family is trash.
Well,
But I don't think that's what's happening.
But that's not clear.
Right.
Because we know the truth.
Yes.
And, like, the story we hear is that Anne lied. And so, yes, like, that's how it should be, right? Like, family is family in no matter what way, and chosen family and whatever. And, like, I'm all about that. Like, of course it shouldn't change anything. But at the same time, like, I'm not hearing any accountability for Anne.
No.
I'm not hearing anyone at the family reunion say, hey, Anne,
right.
We got some fucking questions for
well,
you.
Well, DCFS gets involved, the Department of Children and Family Services, and they open a case and they're like, there's not really anything to go on for them to research because Anne is insisting that Carlina was born in Connecticut. There's no record of her birth.
And she's not giving her any information. She's not just lying. Like, sometimes she'll be lying, but sometimes she'll just be withholding things.
Right.
Which is like, what the fuck, Anne?
DCF took DNA samples and confirmed that Anne wasn't the mother. but they said they couldn't help Nedra find out who was.
I was like, can you take my blood at least to match it up with someone that's out there? They was like, that's TV stuff.
That's TV stuff, and that's not how it works.
Yeah. And so they tell Carlina that, but the thing is, they do tell Carlina, of course, you know, like, Anne is not your birth mother.
Yes.
But they also don't help her try to find her birth mother. So they drop this bomb on her and then, like, leave her with zero resources and then turn their backs on her.
Which then, like, she says she just kind of went through it on her own. Her whole family is like, we were there for her and this was a really hard time. But, like, she says to us, Carlina says there were no answers.
Yeah.
There didn't seem to be any way to get answers. And, like, she's pregnant.
She has a daughter of her own she's got to take care of.
And she's like, all I could really do is like put one foot in front of the other. And just again, like she's living with the lie that she was abandoned.
Right.
You know what I mean?
She wasn't.
Meanwhile, like her family in New York City is like looking for her every day and have been for the last 18 years.
Right. Because now Carlene is 18. It's 2009. She moves near Atlanta, and she's still very close with Anne and her family.
There's like another whole Petway clan in Atlanta.
Right.
So she's moving from one like big family neighborhood to another big family neighborhood.
Right. And so like, and she wants to stay close with Anne and her family because Anne, like, look, like all the bullshit, according to Carlina, like whatever, it all happened, but like this woman still raised me. So
and
like,
she
what
also
is she supposed to do?
Saved me. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like that's the story that Carlina has been told and is believing.
And now Carlina has her baby. She loves her. She loves being a mom. Everyone
very
is saying,
strict.
Just like
very
Anne, but everyone says the same exact thing. Like anything her daughter needed, she got. She's very present. She's very involved. We see footage of them like doing homework together.
I know. It's very sweet. And like the daughter just seems like so sweet.
But like Carlina looks at her daughter and of course she can't help but think about what happened to her and like what was I like when I was that age and like why did my mom not want me and
right.
like what's going on?
And she starts doing that thing that I would definitely be doing, which is like late at night getting on the Ryan Phillippe underpants machine.
Yeah. Also called Google.
Also called the internet.
The internet.
And like trying to like find answers. But she's working with the information that her abductor has given her.
And like her birthday's wrong.
Her birthday's wrong. She's insisting that she was born in Connecticut. She was born in New York. So she's only searching local cases.
And so then she's like, she can only do so much by herself,
yeah.
right?
But in the fall of 2010, Nedra asked her Aunt Cassandra for help.
It was like, you know, I still want to find my mom and see who my family is. And I said, you want me to help you? I'll help you. I think that was a chapter in her life that she needed to complete in order to move forward with her life.
Cassandra is Anne, stupid Anne.
Yes.
Her sister.
I love Cassandra.
And Cassandra's like, I'm so down for this. Like, let's figure it out. If my asshole sister isn't going to help you and, like, not give you any information, let's see what we can do.
Yes.
So Carlina was only searching, like, around the Connecticut area because that's what stupid Anne told her.
But
Anne
also
told her she was born in New Haven.
It, like, she's looking for stories about, like, an abandoned baby.
Right. So eventually, like, she's not getting anything.
Yeah.
And she starts to cast a little bit of a wider net.
Yes.
So eventually she Googles and finds her own missing Have You Seen Me poster. And she's like, have you seen me? I think that this is me.
She shows it to Cassandra. She's like, okay, this is a baby photo. Don't you think it looks like me? And Cassandra's like, it does, except the hair. Too
Cassandra.
Much hair. I know.
She was like, I can feel it, except for that hair. That
except
was
for that, hair.
The hair threw me off.
Yeah.
So Nedra Carlina calls the Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and she speaks to Jordan Wood.
And Jordan is here, and I love this story, but what Carlina does, she doesn't say, I found a picture of a Carlina White.
Yeah.
She like doesn't reference the case that made her call. She just says, like, my mom told me that I was abandoned when I was a baby, and here are the facts that I have. And
here's like my fake birth certificate. Like, she just tells her the story.
Which is so funny because like Jordan takes all the information, passes it on to the analysts.
Finally, the analysts came up with what they believed was the best match, Carlina White. On January 4th, 2011, a caseworker called Joy White, Carlina's mother.
I was at work when he called me, and I was like, I found my daughter.
Now, great. But, yeah, like, right. Most documentaries would spend 45 minutes explaining
this.
This one spends 0 minutes.
Yeah.
Can we meet in the middle? Because they're just like, and suddenly everyone realizes that they're the same person. And I'm like, this is all great, but,
well,
like, how?
I think part of that is the fact that there aren't that many cases of abandoned or stolen children in 1987.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, it's probably not that hard to pinpoint.
And it's only, like, 50 miles away. It's not that far. Like, it could have worked.
And, like, it's what Ernie was saying earlier. Like, oh, she's out there and she's thriving and is in a family that loves her and is taking care of her. Check, check, check. All the things we always knew were going to be true for Carlina.
And the tumultuous relationship that Anne had. Like, it all makes sense. So Jordan Wood calls Joy Carlina's birth mom. Like, this is the call she's been waiting for since 1987.
Yes.
I can't even imagine.
No. And she calls her at work. And, like, oh my God.
Yeah. And I guess they're going to, like, test DNA to make sure. Like,
sure.
I guess they go through those hoops.
Yeah.
Again, it's not explained, but I guess we're just cutting to the chase here.
We only have 42 minutes.
I know, right? So, again, like, we can meet in the middle.
I couldn't agree.
We'll on-screen text
Give
for 10
seconds.
Give us
more of the interesting science-y stuff.
So, sometimes, but don't go too far.
Don't go too far. You know what? If you're making a series and you think it should be four, make it three.
Make it, or
you know
two.
What I mean? Or two. Make it a quick twofer.
You know?
It
and if you think it's two, make it 42 minutes.
When I first started putting our live shows together, I'll never forget this. The first place we ever did a live show was at the Green Room here in New York City. And Daniel, the guy who was running it, I was like, our show's only like an hour and 10 minutes. Is that too short? And he goes, no one. He's like, I've been in this business a long time. No one has ever complained about a show being too short.
Yeah, he's right.
It's true.
You gotta leave him wanting more.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Girl, this message is sponsored by Greenlight. We all know this. Greenlight is the debit card and money app for families that helps kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely.
Yeah, and also the parents are involved too.
Yes.
Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on kids' spending and saving.
So this is, I say this every week. We have this with Daisy. I love it. You can customize the debit card. We've got a picture of Golden on it. I love talking to Daisy about money. I never had any of that financial planning when I was a kid. Nobody taught me anything. I love getting to, like, go over the app with Daisy. She can see what's in her account. She can see us using the allowance feature, so she sees that she gets her allowance every week, and then we can talk about what she wants to save for and what she wants to spend her money on.
It's demystifying it.
It is,
you
for
know?
Sure.
And then kids and teens, too, can build money confidence and skills in a more fun and accessible way.
Exactly. And maybe, girl, that's why millions of parents and kids, just like me and Steve and Daisy, are already learning about money on Greenlight, the number one family finance safety app.
Yeah, they also have the chores feature, where you can set up one-time or recurring chores. You can customize it to your household. You can reward kids with an allowance for a job well done. We're all keeping track.
She asks about it every single week. Every Friday as we're getting into the weekend, it's macaroni and cheese and Greenlight time.
Look, girl after my own heart.
So fam, start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/TCO.
That's greenlight.com/TCO to get started.
Greenlight.com/TCO and customize that debit card.
That's right.
Everyone is put in touch. All the analysts are like, yes, you're all the right people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, go forth and be a family now.
Yes.
So they finally meet up. It's January 2011.
And this footage is kind of well known. I've seen this other places where Carlina, like, flies to meet her mom, Joy, and her dad, Carl. And now Joy and Carl are not together anymore, but they're all together as
a family.
All of Joy's kids and Carl's kids are all, like, Joy is like, I wanted to meet at my house and we're all going to cook. And it's like this big family dinner.
With, like, 15 cameras.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, Joy and Carl are trying to kiss Carlina. She's like trying to pass bread down the table.
It's very cute.
But it's also very awkward because to me, and I think that's okay. Like it has to be so weird. You don't know each other.
Well,
like you're strangers.
Also, like you're reconciling the fact that like, like the family that raised you that you love did something fucking horrible to these people who've been like, so these are the emotions that are existing within Carlina the whole time.
And I'm sure that like there's a lot of pressure to instantly feel a connection. But I'm sure she's looking at these people like, I don't know you and you don't know me.
Yes.
And now because there are all these...
I have a family that I still feel loyal to.
And now there are all these cameras where it's like, everyone be in love. Everyone love each other. Everyone. And so I think it's okay for it to feel like, yikes, this is uncomfortable. Like, ugh. But like, well, like, there's some closure. Like, we know what happened. And well, like, maybe we can start to form a relationship. But that's not happening overnight.
No.
And so if you're ever in a situation like this, it's okay to feel a little weird about it.
Well, and because I also feel like nobody prepared the families.
No.
Because we're going to get
anybody.
Like, we'll learn later that Carlina is working with the mental health professionals at the Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And they say that this is really common. I just wish somebody had, like, told the families ahead of time.
Right.
Here's a little bit of, because, like, it's not apparently uncommon for kids that are snatched at birth to be reunited with their, there's enough research on what happens next that somebody should have prepared these people and nobody did.
We need, like, Olivia Benson to come in here and explain it.
Exactly.
But the thing is, so now Anne's family, the family of the woman who stole Carlina, they're hearing the whole truth on the news.
Yes.
Like, stupid Anne lied to everybody for years. And so, like, now they're going through a lot of emotions.
But also, like, they're not talking about it.
They're not.
No one is saying, like, Anne did a really bad thing. All they can say is that, like, she's a really good mother and a really great person. And they're saying, like,
everybody was really happy for her. And they told her, you found your family, but we'll still be your family also.
Once I did reach out, they said that nothing really changed for them. They still love me the same way. I'm still their cousin.
We'll always be a family for Nettie/Carlina.
And that's how it should be. Yes. She didn't do anything wrong. She was 19 days old.
Of course.
But someone's got to say something bad about Anne soon.
Because they're talking some shit right now.
Because it's like, you can say like, wow, this fucked me up, but like, we'll never not love Carlina. But also, Anne, what the fuck? Like, that you can say that. And like, you can also maybe say like, she was really going through it. Like, I don't know what you want to say. Like, it's your family. But Jesus Christ, you have to hold Anne accountable a little bit.
And you know, Anne does the right thing. She turns herself in.
Well, wait, no.
They go to, all right, the authorities go to her home in North Carolina, and she's not there.
Because
she's
bailed.
She's on the run, right.
Remember, she used to live in Connecticut. Right. Then she bailed to live down.
I'm sorry that I let you down by saying one not horrible thing about,
like,
Anne.
What? Then she takes her 13-year-old son. I'm like, can we get DNA on the son? Like, what are you talking about? This is the first time I'm hearing about a son. She runs and takes a minor across state lines. Because she's all over the fucking news.
Why are you not the president?
And then,
you know what I mean? You should be running the CIA or something.
God.
You know all the laws.
No, okay. I do not. I'm wrong all the time. But I'm leading by emotion.
I know. The family says, like, she wasn't on the run. She was bringing her son back to Connecticut. I'm just pointing out the facts.
Look, sometimes I have trouble sleeping too.
I know.
Whatever you got to tell yourself to go to sleep at night is fine. But
she turns herself in.
And they're like, you know, it made it seem like she was like some crazy person, but it wasn't like that. And I'm like, okay, but she still did something morally reprehensible.
And not only that,
she gave a statement saying she had caused a lot of pain, but she pled not guilty to the kidnapping charge brought against her.
Pleads not guilty to the kidnapping charge brought against her.
And?
I know.
And? What you did, this is literally the definition of kidnapping. Like, you stole a child and lied to her for her entire life. Like, shut up, Anne!
But this is where I want everyone to start thinking about Carlina, and nobody does.
Everyone's thinking about themselves.
Because they say that, like, when the court hearing starts, members of the Pettway family are on one side, Carolina White's family are on the other, and, like, we're there watching, and Joy is so angry. She's talking about Anne Pettway coming in, acting like she did nothing wrong, she has no remorse, and she's like, I feel sick to my stomach when I see her, and I'm like, I don't know, but somebody should have intervened and said, like, say those things to your husband, say those things to your, but don't say those things to Carlina. Carlina knows that woman as her mother and she loves her.
But I think you can feel that shit about Anne.
Yes. But the problem is, it feels like the only person she's saying it to is Carlina.
Right.
And which is putting Carlina on the defensive of her family.
Saying like, well, I had a nice time when I was there.
Yes.
But also, like, if the family of the woman who stole Carlina is mad at Carlina's birth parents, that's not okay too, because they are victims here.
100%.
But there's just, everyone's at 100.
Right.
So, like, I feel like Joy, rightfully so, probably doesn't want to know the fun cousins from the reunion.
Yes.
Like, and she shouldn't have to know them.
But
it's
also,
okay.
If you're Carlina, you're probably feeling like, well, now is Anne's family, my family, going to turn on me?
Right.
So, of course, she has to, like, feel protective. And she even says, like,
I didn't acknowledge that she was going to go to jail and get taken away, you know, from my brother, and they're separating. Now he has to come up without his mom. I'm going to speak from my heart. If I was able to give her another chance, I would. Her serving time is not going to do much.
If I had known that, like, finding my birth family was going to put my mother in prison, I never would have done it.
Well, Anne, it starts with Anne.
Because Anne told her a lie. Anne didn't say, I kidnapped you. She said, your birth mother abandoned you.
And that's great. Go back one major lie, the kidnapping. She kidnapped. Like, it all starts with Anne.
I know.
And I feel like we're not talking about that enough.
But
in
also,
this thing.
Carlina now also feels guilty because she's saying, now, because of what I did, my brother is going to grow up without any parents now, too.
Exactly. Right, exactly.
And it's just like everyone is just yelling at each other and being so angry at the other families.
Right.
And no one is like, no one is protecting Carlina.
And no one's thinking ahead. I'm not saying Carlina should have. She did the right thing here. Like,
yeah.
She wanted to get to, and I hope she got her insurance.
Yes.
I mean, clearly she did in some way, but like, holy shit.
And also, like, Joy, Carlina's birth mother, is saying, I just want them to throw away the key, put her in prison and throw away the key. The only way she was ever going to be able to have a relationship with Carlina was to be able to, like, at least forgive Anne in enough of a way to, like, not have hate in her heart every time she sees Carlina.
Well, because Carlina wants the family in her life, and that means, like, everyone else. Like,
yes.
She loved her cousin. She loved everyone who was there.
And she probably wants a relationship with Anne.
And Joy's like, absolutely not. Joy's saying, but, like, I don't begrudge Joy that at all. Like, I don't think, because I would think, like, well, you believed her, and now you're defending this person who did this horrible thing and ruined all these lives.
If I found out today that my mother kidnapped me and I was reunited with my birth family, I'm not giving up my relationship with my mother.
No.
You know what I mean? There's no way.
I understand the anger as well.
Yes. Me too, but I just wish that, like, if the Center for Missing and Exploited Children are going to give us a speech about how they know this always happens,
right,
why couldn't somebody go with Carlina for the reunion?
Yeah.
Why couldn't somebody be like, it's great that Carlina's seeing the mental health professionals, but why can't we be seeing them all together with the idea that maybe we can salvage these relationships?
Yeah. Well, I think two things has to happen. One, that's not an overnight thing.
Yeah.
And two, everyone has to be on board, and you're just not getting that here. So, like, what is she supposed to do? It takes a long time to wrap your mind around any of it.
The anger that they given off is only satisfying them. It's like you doing that, not caring about how I'm feeling.
It just makes me sad because it's like everyone's going to lose.
Right.
Everyone's going to lose.
Right. And Anne didn't have a plan.
And then, like, they made a bigger issue of this in, like, the coming up on that I think was an actual issue. Because remember that $750,000,
right,
and they put some of it away for Carlina if they found her. So by the time Carlina is found, that money's all been spent on,
right,
just, like, living expenses or whatever.
Right. Because I think it's a really, like, nice flowery thing to say. It's like, we'll save it for her. But, like, then reality hits.
Yes.
And I'm not saying you don't care about her and you don't want to provide for her when you find her. But, like, bills are due and you're traumatized and can't go to work. Like, come on,
but
everybody.
Carlina also says she doesn't care.
Right.
So, like, this was a big nothing.
This is nothing. Nothing.
So, you know, we learn as we're getting to the end of this that after that 2011 reunion where they were, like, passing the bread and doing the kisses on the cheeks, that there was, like, very little communication after that because of all the competing feelings about who's going to be in whose life and who's mad at who and who should go to jail. And, you know, it's just very, Joy says, I feel like I found her, but she's still lost.
Yeah. It's like,
that's just so awful. And this is where we meet Dr. Jeffrey Greif, and he's an expert in kids who've been, like, abducted and then reunited with their families.
Oh,
and he just says, this is what happens. Like, you know, when the kid is returned, they're suddenly questioning everything.
Right.
The birth parents want to treat them like the little baby that they lost,
right,
but they're grown up now, and people don't know how to, like, meet in the middle.
Because you're strangers.
Yeah.
And, like, that has to, I think there's a lot of pressure that people put on themselves to just, like, we're back now.
Uh-huh.
We have to be the happy family we were going to be if this didn't happen.
And also, like, you can never talk to that family that raised you and that you love. And
everyone needs a little bit more space to navigate this.
Yeah.
You know, and don't put the pressure on. But so it ends with on-screen text saying that Anne is awaiting trial. But no, I Googled.
Yes.
Anne was given 12 years.
Yeah.
She served 10 and she was released in April 2021.
Yeah, and it just says that Carlina keeps in touch with her birth parents, but is not very close with them.
No, but she is still close with the family she grew up with, which does not surprise me at all. Why should she give up her cousins? She didn't do anything.
And I'm curious to know, like, what her relationship is like with Anne.
I don't know.
Probably a very, like, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know.
Who knows? But it's so sad because it didn't have to be
I think that, and that's the point, Anne. It didn't have to be like this, Anne.
Yeah, totally.
Someone made a major choice, Anne, and now we're here, Anne.
Oh my goodness, fam. We did, what's it called?
The Carlina White Story Beyond the Headlines.
Oh my goodness. Fam, the tour is underway. We're covering the Jinx. We're having the time of our lives. July 13th, we're coming to Denver. July 15th, we're coming to Chicago. You can find the rest of the dates on the website at truecrimeobsessed.com. The shows are selling out. It's just wild.
Come see us. Come have a nice time.
And if you're listening to this the day the episode comes out, tomorrow night, I am taking the traveling book party to Nashville, reading a chapter from my book. It's really sweet. It's really funny. I have a whole slideshow with video of me taking myself very seriously in high school. It's wild.
The
Come and see me, Nashville. Sam, join the Patreon.
Yes.
Come find me and Jillian if you want more of us. It's over 350 full ad-free bonus episodes.
Yeah, and those could be like episodes of things like The Jinx or Making a Murderer, yeah, all that, or they could just be like AMAs where we just like hang out or we give you advice. There's a lot of stuff.
And, so, and you get one thing a week. We do a full bonus episode every single week, and you can download those the second you sign up.
Yeah, and then you
get
like
$5. You get 350 episodes.
Yeah, and then you get like bonus stuff on top of that too.
All the time.
Wow.
That's it. What are we doing next, girl?
Oh boy, everyone pull over.
Oh God.
The hatchet wielding hitchhiker.
Oh, we're doing it. I was just thinking about that kid today, actually.
Yeah. It's, you know, I got notes.
Yeah, for sure.
I got notes. It's fucking crazy.
I got notes all the way around. Like, it's wild.
Yeah, except for...
Except for what?
Me.
Except okay. You are perfect. No notes for you.
I thought I'd
no
throw notes. It right back. Cut because I always print. Say things and you're like, what about me? So I thought I'd throw it right back at you.
All right, fam. We love you so much. We'll see you next
week.
We
love you. See you later.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Have you heard about Kai, the hitchhiking hatchet hero?
This dude went from this heroic, beautiful person to wanted for murder.
An absolute bizarre scene here in West Fresno. A man plows his car into a PG&E worker, pinning him against his truck.
Two women are trying to help him. He runs up and he grabs one of them, man. So I f***ing ran up behind him with a hatchet. Smash, smash, smash.
Most people that are heroes are not homeless people. There was something funny about him and kind of cute and sweet and innocent.
He has such an endearing quality. There's so much charisma.
If you're going to glorify someone, you better know who you're glorifying.
Kai, the hatchet-wielding hitchhiker, he's been arrested for allegedly taking the life of a man in New Jersey.
So bad!
I thought of when we said the numbers, I thought of, do you know that very famous scene of Left Eye doing the behind the music where
no.
she explains how you can be like TLC, like one of the most famous bands ever,
oh,
and still not
and
make any
broke.
Money?
Yeah.
And she goes, well, everyone, now let's get ready to do your math. And it is the
yeah.
most
yeah.
concise breakdown of the fuckery of the music industry.
Yes.
However, but when I said do your math, I just heard Left Eye. It's such a great, great clip.
Whenever I hear about like strict parenting, I'm like, I basically had no parenting. Like it was my mom who was a single mom who like worked a lot.
You were also too scared to do anything.
I was too scared to do anything.
I was going
to
say, like, would you ever like get in trouble for it? Did
Nothing.
You ever like stay out too late?
Nope.
Did you ever
Never.
Take
I
a
mean,
car when you weren't supposed to?
No. Or if I did stay out too late, like my mom knew that I wasn't like doing anything bad, so it was fine.
You were just sitting out terrified being like, fuck, 30 seconds past the hour.
I don't think I ever got in trouble in my life.
That is insane.
I don't think I've ever been in trouble.
That's impossible.
I know.
That makes no sense.
It's just so weird. Like I write it in the book. Like I live
you
in
live
fear
in
of
fear.
Getting trouble. I don't look. If I'm watching a talk show and it looks like somebody's going to yell, I have to change channel.
Or they're going to shove cocaine up your nose.
Right.
Which is, I think you live in fear that someone's going to break into this booth.
I'm
and
telling
force you,
you
to do
and
cocaine.
Force me to do drugs. I'm a good
Thanks
kid.
Thanks a lot, Nancy Reagan. Yikes.